In the coming 3 weeks, we'll be covering issues that concerns us. As you know, we've been going through the book of John, but through the situation that has occurred through the coronavirus pandemic or COVID-19, we as a church also want to look from a biblical perspective of how we respond to social isolation, social distancing, economic issues that are coming upon us. So in the next 3 weeks, we'll be addressing these issues and concerns that we're struggling with. No one has ever imagined in the beginning of 2020 that coronavirus would take a center stage in our lives. There's 3 million people so far who have been infected, 204,000 people who have been killed, and counting. And since February, the virus has caused economic disruptions, hardships, travel restrictions. Healthcare workers have been overworked. Restaurants, barber shops, and other businesses who are considered non-essential have been shut down. And imagine, even toilet paper is hard to find. And it's gone to the point where people's nerves are unraveled. There's rudeness, there's insensitivity, crime, racism that has occurred through this coronavirus. About 2 weeks ago, I was talking to a barber who was forced to close because the state mandated it. And he was sharing with me how his life had dramatically changed, raising 4 children, trying to make ends meet, and even being anxious about the safety of his children. And this is the first topic I'm going to talk about, our anxiety and worry that causes much stress in our lives because things are not under our control. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus is preaching from the Sermon on the Mount from chapter 5 to 7. And in this passage from his Sermon on the Mount, starting with chapter 5, he talks about the Beatitudes. And chapter 6, he talks about the Lord's Prayer. In this text, right after he teaches people how to pray, what's interesting is Jesus talks about treasure and the eye. Verses 19, he starts by saying, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there where your heart is." And so the first question I'm going to ask is, why does Jesus talk about treasures? He knows that treasures that we value often can cause anxiety and worry in our lives. In fact, when we talk about treasures in this verses, Jesus talked about 2 types of treasures. One is treasures on earth. It's more or less things that we possess, things that we own, things what we wear, things that are very valuable to us. And Jesus says it's not eternal. And when he talks about moth, he's talking about clothing where it destroys itself over time. And the things that we possess will never be with us, and you will never take it with you. I remember hearing about the owner of Seattle Seahawks who passed away. He was a billionaire, and he left his wealth with him. And currently, it might be important because thieves would like to take it and break in. But what Jesus is saying is there's 2 types of treasures. One is worldly treasures, but the other one that he's talking about is what we call heavenly treasures. Now, worldly treasures are temporary. It's something that we have. It's tangible. We can feel it. However, the worldly treasures can never be eternal. What Jesus is talking about is store yourself treasures in heaven. And when he's talking about treasures in heaven, it doesn't rot. It cannot be stolen. And what is the treasures in heaven? The Bible talks and shares some of the glimpses of treasures in heaven. And one of the things that is really essential is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a treasure in that we know not only that we have eternal life, but we know that God is watching over us. We know that through this COVID-19 crisis, that God is protecting us and God is having favor upon us. But not only that, we know that we're in a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 4:18, Jesus says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." What was Jesus' mission? It starts out with the Spirit of God anointing him to proclaim a relationship, proclaim the freedom, proclaim the oppression that is suppressing us, to set us free. Jesus' work, the treasure of heaven, is to bring forth the relevancy of the kingdom of God, healing us, connecting with us, loving us in a very intimate way, knowing us, being with us. And another form when we talk about the kingdom of heaven is not just a relationship with God, but it's also what we do on earth. If you look at Luke chapter 12, verse 33, a parallel passage, Jesus says this, "Sell your possession, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near or no moth destroys." And what Jesus is talking about, the kingdom of heaven, treasures in heaven, is doing good. Is doing good works to people, even during this time of crisis. I was really encouraged when I was at Home Depot and was getting supplies, and the wood I was carrying was very heavy. And one of the persons said, "Can I help you?" This is a form of practicing the values of the kingdom of heaven, heavenly treasures, kindness, patience, loving, giving, generosity. And so when Jesus talks about treasures, he's talking about there's two types of treasures, treasures on earth that rot and destroy, or treasures in heaven. And he's talking about it's really important that your heart is focused on where your treasure is. Because if you treasure the things on the earth, it will cause you to worry. But if you treasure on things of heaven, it will not cause you to worry. And I'll show with that a little bit more in detail. In verse 22 and 23, Jesus goes on talking about the eye. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now here, Jesus brings the eye is the lamp of the body. When we talk about the eye as the lamp of the body, what it says is this. What we see through the eye, what we visualize, we process it in our brain, and then we come to conclusion. Now, the way we look at things can be for good or bad. It could be healthy or unhealthy. And when we look at circumstances that we look at, we need to approach it in either a good or unhealthy way. Especially when this coronavirus has come, how do we look at this situation? Do we become anxious? Do we become rude? Do we become self-preserving oriented? Do we become a hoarder? Or do we become the practices of kingdom of God, being generous, being considerate, being loving? This is what Jesus is talking about. So he talks about treasure, and then he says, the way you look at things is really important. So we need to refocus. Verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters." So the way you look at things, the way you treasure things, you cannot serve two masters. You either will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. The way we look at things in life, the way we value things, our treasures, you cannot serve two masters, either God or money. And depending on what is your treasure, what situations you face, it can cause anxiety or calmness. And Jesus is now getting into the core of this text. And he just wants to tell us first, if you put your lordship in the Lord, and allow Him to help you overcome all these things that are happening, and let Him take control. God is in control. Everything will be okay. Let's look at verse 25 to 27. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single cubit to your life? You know, God values our lives. You are a treasure to God. The way He eyes you is precious. And why would He not provide you when He values you more than birds or anything on this earth? We're precious in God's eyes. And so, no need to worry, because He'll provide all the things that you're worried about, that God will take care of it. Maybe it might be your job. Maybe it might be, you know, food, clothing, whatever you're worried about, God will take care of it because you're valuable to Him. One preacher said it this way: worry is unreasonable. Worrying about something you can't change doesn't work. Worry is unnatural. Humans are the only thing in God's creation who worry. Isn't that profound? We are. Worry is unhelpful. Worry doesn't change anything except you. Worry is unnecessary. If you trust God, you don't need to worry. Worry is really a control issue. It's trying to control what we can't control. We can't control the economy. We can't control the spread of the virus. And we cannot control the future. Worry never solves anything. It's doing without doing. And He's right. When we worry, it is unreasonable. It is unnatural. It is unhelpful. It is unnecessary. Why? Because we cannot control what is happening to us. We cannot control our future. We cannot control our circumstances. And it solves nothing. But because you're so valuable to God, God will provide all your needs and your resources that you need because you're valuable to Him. And God will provide our basic needs, such as food and clothing. Have you gone hungry? Have you gone to a place where you never had a place to sleep in? If I look back in my life, and I'm pretty sure you feel the same, God has always provided food. God has always provided shelter. And this is the reason why Jesus goes on in verses 28 to 30. He says this: why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of this. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you a little faith? You know that God will provide. So let's stop worrying. You know God will solve the solutions. We know that loved ones who might be infected, God will take care of it. Regardless of whatever happens, God is in control, and trust Him. So do your part by practicing faith. Now, when Jesus says He'll provide, faith is not what we call blind faith. We don't just say, Jesus, provide. We got to do our part. It's interesting, in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul says this: for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Well, why is Paul saying that? We know that God can provide our resources. We know that God can provide our needs. But you just don't believe. You just don't wait on God to provide. You got to go out and do your part. God says He'll provide. God will give you opportunities to have the provision. Because God is the one who provides for us. And so our task is to have faith, walking in faith that is balanced, and then trusting that what God says is always true. What God says is coming true, and we need to follow through with it and trust that everything's going to be all right. You know, I never thought toilet paper was a hot commodity. I never thought that. And I remember going to Ralph's to get toilet paper. The shelves were literally empty. You probably can identify with me. And so over time, I decided we're running out of toilet paper. So my wife and I went to Costco at around like 5:30 in the morning. There was a huge line where people lined up to get toilet paper. And I was hoping I would get toilet paper. And the workers at Costco around like 8 o'clock came out and told us, there's no more toilet paper. I was so frustrated. And I prayed to the Lord, Lord, we're running down on toilet paper. And I'm asking, Lord, can you provide? And the Lord said, just trust me. I'm going to lead it. And I was reading actually this passage which says, you know, Jesus will provide. And I said, Lord, this is silly. I'm asking for toilet paper. Will you provide? And the following morning, the Lord told me, go to the Costco in the valley. But don't go so early. You don't need to wait that long. I will provide. And out of trust, this is what trusting means. I went around like an hour before it opened. There was a huge line. But by the grace of God that day, we got toilet paper. We got paper towels. We got Clorox wipes. God will provide. And when we trust Him and do our part, don't worry. God will provide and surrender all the things to the Lord, because worrying doesn't do anything. Look at verse 27. Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? All we do is waste away worrying, and it doesn't really help us. God knows that you need these things. And during this time, God's in control. During this time, God's watching over you. God is controlling everything, and He is good. And you might say, well, He's not always working things out. A lot of times, hardships are lessons that we can learn from so we can understand people who are suffering. God is good, and God will allow you to go through sometimes hardships. But through it all, if you look back, God blesses us. If you look back, God has proven that He's a God who doesn't lie. He's a God who is faithful. And so, let's stop worrying. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough problems of its own. It's so true. Each day has so many things that we can worry about. So start prioritizing by practicing our faith. So notice here in verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you or added to you. And what He's saying is, seek the values that Jesus taught us. First, the kingdom, the values of the kingdom of God. We could see that in the scriptures, where it teaches us kindness, generosity, proclamation of the Bible, praying for people to be healed, practicing unconditional grace with one another. And when Jesus talks about righteousness, what He's talking about is this. The righteousness of God in Christ means that you're justified, declared righteous because you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It means we are right with God, approved by God, being in the right standing before God. And so when it says righteousness, what it's talking about is you and I are called by the Lord to seek first God's righteousness, living the way God lives, and everything will be added unto you. When we talk about God's righteousness, what we're talking about is God's norms, God's mores, God's values. Seek first those things. You know why? Because when we do, we know that God is in control. Because when we do, we know that God is sovereign and He's leading us in everything that we do. And therefore, brothers and sisters, do not worry. Do not worry, because God is going to take care of us. God is good. Do you believe God is good? And God is controlling all the situation, even through this virus time. God will watch over you, and God is gracious, and God is loving.